Good morning. I'm Ed Pence, Executive Director of Crossref. I'd like to welcome everybody to our 12th annual meeting. We had the corporate meeting just held and elected the five seats to the Board of Directors. Just a couple of sort of housekeeping notes. We are recording the sessions today, videoing the sessions. So we're hoping to have time for questions after each of the talks, and so there are a couple of microphones. So when you ask a question, well, you're not allowed to ask a question unless you have a microphone, and it's turned on. So after the sessions, we'll be passing around the microphones if people have any questions or points to raise. But we've got a great day lined up. It's packed full. So we're going to start off this morning talking about Crossref updates. I'm just going to kick things off with a little sort of introduction and overview before handing off to some of the other Crossref staff members. One other note too is that there's a white notebook with some notes that Fred Lerner misplaced yesterday. If anybody finds them, please hand them in to Fred or at the desk. But that reminds me also that yesterday we had a very successful day of Crossref workshops as well, and the presentations from those, that wasn't videoed, but the presentations will be available online for that. So on to talk a little bit about Crossref. I wanted to just give an update on some important numbers. I thought I'd keep it simple and get through. This is what we had before. Spot. Okay, so in looking at the Crossref numbers, I'm very happy to report that everything's heading up and looking very good. So I have a few graphs, but I thought this is a great graph. You could use this for many things. Talking about the Crossref numbers, I just wanted to pull out a few key numbers. You'll have seen we have a press release that we've just put out today that we have gone past the 50 million DOI mark. I think that's an amazing milestone. You know, when we first got started, I don't think anybody imagined having so much content. But that's, 50 million uniquely identified pieces of scholarly content that are available for linking. And it's a sign of just how much the Crossref network has grown. So I think that's a very big milestone. And you can see here how the content has grown over the years. This is largely due to digitization of back files, which is still going on. We keep expecting it to drop off, but it hasn't yet. And I think we're already, even though we've just passed 50 million, we're actually at 50,200,000. So the content keeps rolling in, which is good. It's largely journal content, but we have obviously books and conferences. Books were 6% last year, so they've gone up 2%. They are growing. They're the fastest growing content type. We also have components here, which are figures and tables that are parts of journal articles, book chapters, those types of things. And we have a handful of publishers who are registering components of components, but that is growing as well. We also have another category, which is sort of technical reports, standards, things like that, but those are all way down, lower percentages. Looking at the growth rates, this is the year-to-year growth rates. We can see on the red here with journal growth, because of variations in backfile deposits, we've actually had some year-to-year declines, but the last couple of years we've had some growth. Conferences, the growth rate has stayed pretty steady. Books has been a little bit more up and down, but we're looking this year, a 35% increase in the number of book DOIs that are part of Crossref. So I think that's a trend that will continue. 464 million, another very important number for us. This is the number of DOI resolutions in 2010. So the number of times that Crossref DOIs were clicked on most likely by a person. So we get the stats in on how many times DOIs are clicked, and we weed out search engine crawlers, which follow the links, and we try to weed out as many as we can. I think we usually weed out about, you know, if we didn't weed it out, there's about twice as many, at least, that would be on top of this. But 464 million, so that's of that 50 million, of those 50 million DOIs, this gives a sense of the traffic. And again, when Crossref started, the thought that we would have 464 million clicks on DOIs, I think nobody would have even thought that we'd ever achieve that. So that's users following content, getting to publisher sites. So I think that's another very, very important number. We have 1,195 voting members of Crossref. We also, though, have another metric we use, which is participating publishers, because in many cases, we have one member who represents many different organizations. And so that's up over 3,500 participating organizations. And we have members from 67 countries around the world. And I think that's a very interesting number and shows that we've grown a huge amount internationally. We have lots of members now in Asia, and we've been seeing one of the fastest growing countries has been Brazil over the last couple of years, and also Turkey. And one thing we're currently still working on, which has been a bit of an issue, is that we're not able to have members from Iran due to U.S. Department of Treasury, I think, regulations, sanctions. And this was an issue a few years ago for IEEE and some other societies about accepting manuscripts from Iran and other countries. And so we've actually put in, we're actually dealing with the office of the Treasury Department that deals with these sanctions, trying to get clearance, because we've got about 20 or some Iranian publishers who would like to join Crossref. So we're hoping, it's very slow moving, but we hope to work that out. And so our goal really is to be as international as possible. A lot of the members who are joining are very small, and you'll be hearing a little bit later, you know, we've been working a lot on building tools for the smaller publishers to make it easier for them to participate in the system. So this just shows the growth rate of membership. You can see a little bit of a dip. That's when we've tried to do back in 2006. So what we're trying to do more now is collective memberships. We have categories of what we call sponsoring members and sponsoring agents. An example of this is, say, Project Muse, which has a number of different publishers on a similar platform, but they just join as one member. We have a very strong relationship with JST in Japan, with the JStage service, that they have a collective membership that covers hundreds of journals that benefits both sides. You know, it streamlines administration. So we're looking at trying to do something similar in Brazil, but that will help us cope with growth. We also have an arrangement which hasn't really fully come to fruition yet, but we hope to with OASPA, the Open Access Publishers Association, where, again, that we can do these collective types of memberships. So that's something we're really focusing on going forward. This is very important. Obviously, it's a permanent link, DOI link. And this represents the fact that we've changed our DOI display guidelines. You'll be hearing about that a little bit later this morning. But I think that's a very important development for us this last year. So we've got now many existing services with Crossref, cited by linking and cross-check. We've got services like Simple Text Query, Crossref Metadata Services, which is about disseminating metadata and content discovery. We have Crossref Linked Data. We're also going to be launching very soon CrossMark, and we'll hear about that a little bit later today. So we really have a nice suite of services that we offer to publishers. So I just did want to touch a little bit on Cited by Linking. That's also been growing quite extensively this year because we have Elsevier joined, and they've got about 200 million references that we need to get into the system, and we're about halfway finished with that. But the number of articles now with references deposited, 13.6 million, 228 million cited by links have been established, and there are 19 million DOIs with at least one cited by link. So I think that's growing very nicely, and this is an example from the Journal of Clinical Investigation, which has a nice implementation of the cited by linking. So what happens with Crossref is that publishers can take the DOI, query Crossref, say, tell me what cites this, and then they can pull that into their own site and display it within their own site. And so we can see here that they've actually, this is one that has 239 citations, and they're broken down. You can sort them by year, and these are all backed up by DOI links to the cited content. So that's been growing very well over the last year. And as I mentioned, we'll be hearing about this a little bit later today, is Crossmark, and I'm very happy to report that we actually have, we had a live Crossmark logo with a journal in Lithuania. And we just recently also had a launch of the pilot with the Royal Society, so you can now see Crossmark logos out in the wild. I have to be careful about trademark issues for the Crossmark system. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later today. But I this is going to be the over the next 6 months to a year. This is huge for Crossref, and I think for the industry, it's one of those things we've been talking about it a long time. Once it starts to get out there and be implemented, I think it's going to have a very, very big impact going forward. So this morning, Linda talked about how the board, Crossref board, had a strategic meeting in July where it undertook an activity of looking at Crossref's strategic direction, looking at all the projects we have underway. One of the challenges we have is because we're doing a lot, and the challenge for us, though, is what not to do. You know, what should be the priorities? Because we could be doing so many different things. So which way should we head? So I wanted to just highlight what the themes that the board came up with, and then the staff took the input from the board and came up with a strategic roadmap for Crossref going forward. So this is kind of guiding what we're doing over the next year. So we've got improving core services. We have the existing services. Crosscheck Books is a huge area. We really want to grow that. Launching of Crossmark is a key area. We've been very involved in ORCID. We're going to be hearing from Howard Ratner later, who's chair of the ORCID board. And so that's going to continue. Identifying data and working with DataCite, a new registration agency, is very important. We've also been doing some very important work on patents. It's sort of more low level. It may take a while to come to fruition. But Jeffrey Bilder reported on some work he and Carl Ward have been doing in Oxford on the patent front. We want to continue to look at long-term persistence as an issue. And in addition, I talked about the DOI display guidelines. We also have some best practices for books. We really want to look at areas where Crossref can use its influence in the industry to establish policies and best practice guidelines. So we're going to be doing that going forward. So this is what's going to be keeping us busy over the next year. So there's a lot to do, and on top of that, we're also going to stay involved in the industry, and Crossref staff participate in many different organizations, and we're going to continue to do that. And we keep coming up with new things. Cross whatever is gives us wide scope for doing whatever we want. Cross everything. But we have another project that the board has been discussing that we've been doing some work on. This is very interesting in that there's a need for reporting on grant funders and grant numbers. And publishers capturing that information when manuscripts are submitted and publishing that information with journal articles. So we're working on a project on that front, and we're going to have a conference call in December So we'll be sending out information about that. We're working with the Department of Energy OSTI office on that, and so I think that you'll be hearing some more about that over the next few months as we go forward. But basically, we want to try to create a directory of standard funder names that publishers can then use, and then that can get into the XML data, and it can feed through and actually be something that's reported via the Crossmark system. So it's going to tie in very nicely with Crossmark as that develops. So we've got a lot over the next year to keep us busy. But I think at the top here, you know, improving the core services is something that we always keep a focus on, and you'll be hearing about that with the new deposit system. But just to wrap up, you know, the Crossref network has grown a huge amount. So that's been, you know, I think it's a great achievement that the scholarly publishing industry should be proud of. So that's I'll finish there for now. Does anybody have any questions? Fred, if we want to get a
we need it for the recorder.
Not a question, it's just a thank you. I was at this meeting a year ago where I requested that Crossref look at a means of displaying grant numbers, and I want to thank the organization for moving so rapidly, and Dewey's Office of Science and Technology Information is represented in the back by Sharon Jordan, raise your hand, for working so quickly to get this off the mark. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if there's nothing else, then I am happy to hand over to Chuck Kosher, Crossref's Director of Technology.